And we're like back again. We took some breaks without meaning to, but you know, it's been crazy.
Hawaii, man. We did a lot of Hawaii things again.
Again, coming back. Another wedding this weekend, but it's an international break now. We're in the clear.
Did we need a break to get a reset going and get back to this. Because, yes, we did have plans in place. Life has been absolutely hectic this fall. Mm-hmm. I think we're on now a pace of calmness in our lives. Yeah. However, EPL is just like, we're just going.
It's just going, and I feel like each week, I see and hear things. It's like, oh, we got to talk about that. And then we're moved on to the next week already, and we didn't even get a chance.
Time moves fast. But this week we had great news, great weekend drama. Remember, Chad, my bucket list this year was not a lot of reffing controversies. And boy, did this week hit hard.
I don't know if you could call this a controversy more than just an outing and pulling back the shade and seeing what's going on.
The controversy here is, and we'll get into this, is Coot saying it never, that's not real.
Yeah.
So that's something we're definitely going to dive into. Let's pop some bevies first. I'm keeping it light. And what I mean light, I'm saying really light. Just my grapefruit. Grapefruit seltzer. I just can't go wrong here. So that's what we're gonna rock with today.
Yeah. I saw a cool little thing from Sierra Nevada at the store. It's a Cryo Fresh Hazy IPA. I don't know. They're throwing random words into these things now.
Is that even real?
It tastes like any other hazy.
Who makes that?
Sierra Nevada. So I don't know. They got the money now. They're just doing weird things, I guess. Who knows?
Okay, have fun. Mm-hmm. That's what matters, right? Just go have fun.
Exactly.
Man, this is crazy to think how different life was 2 weeks ago when we last did this thing. But here we are. We're back.
Yes.
We're back. Something, Chad, that has never happened in our lifetime is now happening right now. Pep is on a 4-game losing streak. And we're witnesses. This is new. This is new for everyone.
It feels great.
It's wild to see. I did get hit with the question of, but you love dynasties. You love seeing teams who are on these epic streaks run their course. And while that is true, I was a big homer of previous dynasties.
Sure.
Man City's just different. It's a different beast, different animal. Yes. And seeing them go through this struggle right now is just like, oh, it feels so good. It feels so good to see. The Rodri effect is real.
Incredible.
I think we can all see this now. 0-5 in the calendar year without Rodri. With him, you're unbeatable.
Yeah.
Reason why he won best player in the world. There's no, I mean, we're in agreement there. That's what he's there for. And without him, how much trouble is City in?
You know, they're not looking great. And, like, we've definitely talked about this already on here. Of, you know, they look a little shaky this season. But, I mean, just looking at their lineup for this past weekend, they had a 19-year-old playing center back.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a great look. He may be a promising player, I don't know. But, you know, they've certainly had their share of injuries, but it seems like right now it's as much as they used to always have that super strong B team. I don't think that's happening right now.
He's gone.
They kind of lost that depth that they were always had, where it was always like someone could step in, just fill that role real quick, and your only real hard miss would be Kevin De Bruyne. But you know, now it's I don't know. It's a different City team for sure. You know, if Haaland's not on that day, then it seems like they can't really do anything, getting any goals. And he's struggling these past few weeks, I'd say.
Teams have... It feels like ever since that Arsenal game, teams have been putting him on a bigger lockdown list. But again, he's not necessarily, I would say, the City problem this year. It's definitely it's definitely the creativity. Foden is not the same as he was, I guess, before Euros started. And then, yes, 100% their backline is, it's in a rough place, especially on that second goal that Brighton scored when the ball was just kind of in the box, and it didn't look like any City player knew what to do with that ball there. And I do think Diaz, Stones, Akanji, those guys would have put a body in the way. But you got Vardy all starting at center back, which not as bread and butter. He wants to be out on the wing. He wants to be bombing down. You got Rico Lewis in his spot now, which I didn't even think Rico Lewis could do that. And then, of course, Simpson, help me with his last name, Poussey?
That's how I heard it.
Okay, that's how I heard it too. Hey, man, that's why I pause. Slight pause. I want to make sure I'm saying it right.
I was reading it before I heard it.
I when I heard it too, I definitely was like, what's his name? And I did go to who scored, and I was like, all right, fair enough. If I'm Pep, and Pep did do this, he's scratching his head. He's going, boy, what do I do here? Because now Liverpool, what are we now, 8 points up?
Five on City,
nine from the rest of the table. Yeah, nine from the rest of the table, that's what it was. Yeah. Good place to be right now. I'm okay with great it. Place, this Liverpool City game is going to, we're all looking forward to that. We go Madrid on Thanksgiving? Day before Thanksgiving, and then we got City on the weekend. So that week is going to be, it's going to be a rough week. But hey, Madrid's kind of been a little all over the place too. So,
yeah.
You know, I hope they don't figure it out this week, the two of them. But I do think having Madrid before City will be a good, almost like a good tester, a good feeler on speed and how to play an attacking team, who likes to possess the ball a lot. It kind of leads up perfectly to City, and you know, I would argue right now City is better than Madrid, despite the names on those teams. But it'll be a hell of a week if we can get some two victories out of that one. So
I mean, I don't know, that City's just, I don't see where the fix comes from right now. Like, I know De Bruyne's finally got game time again, so he's on his way back. I think that will help.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just overall, they just still feel so...
They're getting old, Chad.
Yeah, like, I don't know, shaky and, like, I think a little comfortable. And then, you know, they're so used to dominating so much of the game, and they still do for the most part. But then I think teams are getting just better about capitalizing on the few chances they have and the few counter moments they get. And, you know, we've never been huge Ederson fans either. And, you know, he's just never really had to do a whole lot. He's certainly made some great saves in his time there, but...
few and far.
Yeah, I think he's just... He's not your guy that you can always rely on to make that save on the counter. I don't know. It's fun to watch. It's great for the Premier League season to, you know, as much as Liverpool has a good lead right now, I don't think anyone's necessarily running away with it.
No.
It's all staying pretty tight, pretty close. And, you know, if this has to be how Man City ends the Pep era, so be it.
I will say, though, if City crashes out and Pep leaves, I'll leave kind of a bad taste in my mouth, being like, what, a little controversy for your team?
Yeah.
Don't want to step up to it. You had a down season, and you don't want to try to fight back. And I get it. I understand this was kind of the timing of it all anyway. It's just a little coincidental now that this is going to be the off year, and then everything is going to reset. I don't know. Kind of a bummer. But, yes, their aging midfield is not helping them. Gundogan, 34. De Bruyne, 33. Bernardo Silva, 30. They're definitely on the way out, and their young guys are coming in here and just not ready for it. Where's Doku at? I know that was supposed to be their shining star, and he's at Foden. Like, these guys who are supposed to be kind of absorbing what those players were giving them, kind of,
I feel like,
not doing it.
I feel like Foden is not the player we all thought he was. And I think Pep maybe kind of ruined him. Because Foden now seems like such a just Pep system player, whereas like when we saw him with England, he offered nothing because he doesn't seem to be so much that creative outlet and spark, you know, and so many of his goals he's had with City in recent times have just been kind of those late runs in or, you know, following up on a loose ball at the back post or something. Mm-hmm. You know, he certainly bangs them in every now and then too, but I don't think he's, you know, Pep is known to have such kind of a strict tactical setup and, you know, you do this, play like this, and like, that's it. If you don't, you're not playing. And I think that has probably hampered many players that have played under Pep, and, you know, kind of taken that creative thought process away from them a little bit. And, you know, I think with Foden, I feel like we're kind of seeing that. I think he's shown glimpses of that in past. But now with a City team that's just not really creating enough around the field and getting into these good positions, you know, I think he's just struggling to get anything going. But I think if Kevin De Bruyne can come back in and start to kind of take his role back, I think that will probably release Foden a bit more and, you know, he might be able to come back a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. It's trying times to be a City fan, I guess.
Ha ha.
Well, the new City fans, yeah, I'm new sure era. The old ones, you know, they've been through it, but
but we gotta give flowers to Brighton though.
Wow, well played,
well done. Always believed in you. Honest facts, you saved my pick 'em weekend.
Yeah, we took the sleeper picks, so
I'll do it again. Right, wait, who does City have next? Tottenham.
Oh, it's gonna happen though, because they're the bogey team. We're losing five in a row here. Calling it now.
This is hard to bet against Tottenham right now. We could segue if you want. I got no more to say on City, do you?
Not so much, but yeah, just praise on the Brighton for, you know, continuing to play even when they got a goal back and not trying to just preserve a draw. You know, it's a lot of teams don't do that. A lot of teams take what they can get against City, and it looked like Brighton was like understood they kind of had the hold on City there and like kept pushing for it. And I'm going to shout out João Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
Subbed on what 65th minute or something, got a goal, got an assist. What a day for him. So yeah, that's kind of it. Thanks, Brighton.
Yep, and Brighton, sitting sixth in the table, have only lost against Liverpool and Chelsea, who sit above them. They're right there in the mix. They can easily jump up to number three at any time. This mix between seeds three and, what, eight, nine, a point away from each other, that's a crazy race right there. So if anything happens at the top, any more droppage of points, this thing is just going to be a cluster really soon. Yeah. Bottom half of the table, we won't get into that just yet, but... The top half is very interesting, especially what's going to be for those Champions Leagues. If everyone keeps pace right now, the ending, this type of ending we want. We want these final weeks to come down to 8-9 teams. That'd be awesome. Yeah,
that'd be fun.
But yeah, time will tell. But yes, kudos to Brighton. Let's move on. Tottenham and Ipswich. Did not have Ipswich winning this game. Did not think this would be their first win of the season. But I'm pumped on it.
Yeah. It's great. You know, I was looking at the pick'ems, and I saw this game. I said, okay, well, if it's Ipswich at home, I was maybe going to go for it. But I figured Tottenham at home, as much as like they still kind of make mistakes here and there, they normally turn it around in time to get the win. But not so on this day. They just could not care less to play, it looked like. I don't know what was going on.
I mean, look at the stats too. I mean, it said it right there. No one wanted to.
Yeah,
I don't know, it was like they didn't think Ipswich would have it in them to come at them.
It could be one of those of like knowing you're the better team, and then, you know, the underdog comes in and catches you on an off day because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, he's still looking through the stats. Like Pedro Porro had 9 shot creating actions, Sun 7, you're just not getting shots on target, you know, so that's a big issue. But then even the ones you are, didn't look like anything like super high quality. You know, nothing making Murich do too much in the keeping position there, but yeah, you know, it's I feel like on both the goals that Tottenham gave up, defense was just slow and lacking, and especially that first goal, like just
no one
wanted to go to the ball. And
no,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but it's great to watch.
Yeah, I'm for it. When I saw the scoreline, I went, no way. Yeah. I do got to say, though, the sleeper pick'ems now doing a pick'em report for everyone. I don't know if you've looked at that, and it shows how what everyone did, the losers and the winners, who moved up, who moved down. It even gives us percentages of teams that were picked. And this week, Tottenham was the most picked team with 90% of the pool picking them.
That's fair. I mean, it looked like it should have been a you know, slam dunk win.
Yeah. But
wow. That's cool. I like that little roundup.
I like it too. It tells me how much I sucked or how good I did. And
yeah.
For the most part, everyone, if you go in the table too, everyone's been having some pretty off weeks, which is good because it's bringing the table that people who started late or forgot to do weeks. You're just coming. Everyone's kind of getting closer and closer together. So
yeah, plenty of time left.
It's yeah. You have one person forget a week, you're fine. So yeah, we'll plan on a eventual prize for the winner of this, but I don't rule out any of the last place teams. No way. And now that sleeper is getting better and giving people notices of when to pick, makes our jobs easier and makes a more competitive league. So
definitely.
I think that's pretty neat. Anyway, Ipswich, you did it. I didn't believe in you this week. I believed in another team who, Chad, I actually went to a tailgate for Mizzou this weekend. Had a great time. The Liverpool-Aston Villa game was on while I was there, so all the footballers were all tuned in. Met a Wolverhampton homer. Nice. I gave him my pitch on why I think the Wolves are now the team that's going to have the biggest come up in this, what I guess, the last 66% of the season, and he didn't believe me.
Really?
He didn't believe me. He had doubt. And I was like,
you've got to believe.
I was like, look at you. I was like, look who you've gone against. And we talked about it last time. We could maybe do it again just a little bit. But I think at this point, you faced everyone in the top eight.
Yeah, you had a tough start to the season that we didn't realize until we looked at it. And I'm sure a lot of people don't realize. So
tell me if this team is in the top eight right now. Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Wolves. I'm sorry. That was a mistake. Forest.
Yeah.
Newcastle.
They're eighth, yeah.
Brighton.
Yep.
Aston Villa.
Yep.
Liverpool.
Well, Aston Villa's ninth, really, but they're up there.
Okay.
Liverpool, yeah.
Brentford? I don't think so.
Brentford. They're 11th.
Okay. City.
Yeah.
And then last two games, again, their points. I'm sorry, the Brighton game was in the League Cup, but they've gotten 3 points now, or I guess, what are we at? 5 points now. Brighton, Palace, and Southampton.
There you go.
Upward trajectory. That's all I'm saying.
You gotta win.
Yeah. They go against Fulham next, Bournemouth, Everton, West Ham. Again, no easy games to start, but much, much easier to beat those teams, or at least get points.
You look at their schedule, and they have a whole month, basically, until United, which is probably going to be their next big challenge, right? But you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games until then. So you win those games, get some draws in them, you're moving up the table, I think.
Fulham will be an interesting one. I didn't realize Fulham's 7th right now.
Not all easy games for them, but I think they certainly have a better chance than the first 8 games that they played.
Yes, yes. And that's definitely what we're trying to say here. So now, every team in the league has a win.
Finally. Well done.
Didn't think it would all happen in this weekend.
Yeah.
Team's checking it off, but hey, here we are. I thought the Wolves played decent. I think it's fair to say this was a game that they should have won. I mean, Southampton gifted them a little bit there. But this is, again, this is the climb up. Gary O'Neill, I think there was rumors that he was going to get fired. I think it's way too early to say. Like, there's no, like, who are you going to go get right now? I don't think anyone's available or wants to be a Wolves coach besides O'Neill. He seems into it. He seems passionate, especially what was against City 2 weeks ago. It was when they got
they almost stole one,
and probably should have maybe. Yeah. And even though I don't really agree that that play should have been overturned, but O'Neill was had passion behind it, and that's what you want. So out of all the bottom four teams with one win, Wolves have the most trajectory upwards.
For sure.
I would argue them out of the top, out of the bottom six. Include West Ham, Leicester, and Everton in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good shout. You know, I think Wolves have played fairly decently in all the opening games too. Like, it never felt like they were super overrun. Whereas, like, we've definitely seen that with, I think, all the rest of those six teams.
Throw Man U in there too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's you know, it's Wolves' season to make still. It's early on. They got a lot of the hard games out of the way early. It's time to climb, and you know, hopefully, you can be in a better position to eat the losses, mm-hmm. or at least just like everyone be much more on the same page and
right.
You know, you can cause more issue. Like, it's I feel like it's Wolves' DNA to just like kind of be that team that like pokes and prods the bigger teams and yep. upsets when they can. So
they're definitely the grittiest out of all of these teams.
Yeah, yeah, they're showing a lot of fight, which you love to see. You know, yeah, I think they're looking okay. It obviously not the position you want to see them on the table if you're a fan, but you just gotta believe. You gotta look at the bigger picture here, and I think you can see the upside.
Be happy you played all those teams at the beginning. Yeah. You don't have to face them again for a while.
Yeah.
You know what game I wanted to be the maybe an upset? I thought Forest were gonna do better against City. Oh, I'm sorry, against Castle.
Yeah.
Right.
With how well they've been and up here and, you know, top three, four, whatever they were going into the weekends, I thought they could do it. You know, Newcastle had been struggling. Forest not so much. They looked like they were clicking, and you know, I think they got the first goal in that, right?
Yep. So the Murillo goal.
Yeah, I don't know.
First professional goal, by the way. He's really coming up right now. Yeah. Wow.
Well, congratulations. You know, that's a big moment. But yeah, I hoped they would have been able to build on that goal and, you know, if not get the win, at least hang on to a draw. But they just kind of fell apart.
I don't think Newcastle's that good.
No, I mean, I think they're looking better as they kind of have more of their true starting 11 back, but they don't feel the same at all as like the last season or two, where they were just like quick and physical and you know, such a problem for the whole 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. This is an interesting stat here. Out of all the games Forest has obtained points, outside of one, Chris Wood has scored. The only one he didn't get points or get a goal off of was the Liverpool game. So,
wow.
Moral of the story is, if Chris Wood scores, you're going to get points. If he doesn't, you're probably not going to win.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, yeah, 8 goals on the season, tied with Salah and Bueno.
Is that his most? That has to be his most ever on a season. Okay, wow. Last year he had 14.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe not full season, but 8 in 11 games? I feel like that's probably, he's probably on his best run, at least.
2016-17 Leeds. He had 44 appearances and 27 goals. So he's on pace to beat that.
Yeah.
So we'll see if he continues to do it. I believe in Forrest. I mean, Forrest has such a great attacking, I guess, wingers there who are providing great balls in the box. I mean, most it feels like most of Wood's goals are tap-ins. They're not anything tap-ins, crazy.
Like, little header, nothing. That, yeah, like, mm-hmm. I think, what, he had, like, one goal a couple weeks ago from outside the box?
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. And that was probably that'll go in his like highlight mixtape at the end of end of his career. So everything else is pretty straightforward.
Yeah, but hey, I mean, if that's your game, then at least be good at it.
Yeah, be good.
Be doing pretty good. So
yep. So yeah, I was kind of bummed Forrest didn't win that one, because if Forrest would have won that, they would have been sole third place holders in the Premier League, crazy. Just a point under City. Like that's crazy. I want to say they were on my relegation list. So
I feel like they were. We weren't too hot on them, I know.
I think West Ham and them just like Freaky Friday.
Oh, jeez, yeah, West Ham is.
Should we segue?
Yeah, we might as well, because they're just letting me down over and over and over.
What's wrong?
I don't even care where they end up in the league, just fantasy wise, like making me question some picks here.
It doesn't make any sense. How do you play the way you did last year, ending on a high note, don't really lose anyone, acquire pretty good B average players, and are now worse. And you had a coach last year who was kind of sabotaging you. Did Moyes do stuff we didn't recognize? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think your back line is better. You know, I think Wan-Bissaka was a great pickup. Kilman and Todibo, I think, have been solid. You know, it's certainly not Mavropanos back there making a mistake. It felt like every game he was in. Still got Bowen. Still got Kudus. Still got Paqueta. Well, Kudus is on a little break, but, you know.
He'll be back next after the break. I think he's back.
Yeah, I think so. Still got Susek. I think it's a little bit that same issue that we talked about last season with them, is like finding the right balance of getting all their strong players out there. Mm-hmm. Which I think should be somewhat easy to do at this point. Like, you know, the quality of most of these players, they've been there, you know, a handful of seasons. I don't know. It just, things aren't clicking, obviously, and if you can't get something against Everton at home, like, it's not a great look. You've already had a rough start to the season, and, you know, Everton coming to your place and hanging on, at least. I don't know if that either side looks great, but it's weird times to be a West Ham fan, for sure.
Yeah, and Everton, not a whole lot of shots on target this game. What, four out of, oh man, 16-17? So really Everton had the clear, I think, advantage here on the attacking side. Kind of shocked no goals were allowed this game. Just for food for thought here, Chad, I had Forrest 19th place at the end of the season. Where do you think you had him?
I think I want to say like 17 or 18.
Try 20.
Oh, wow. I really didn't believe.
I feel like now they should just win the league.
Yeah.
And then we'll keep doing this. And then whoever we're putting 20th, we'll recognize you a little differently. Yeah, we had West Ham. You had him 7th. I had him 4th. We're going to have
either
to do it.
Either one of those feel like based off of how last season ended, either one of those I feel like works.
They were the new Aston Villa. That's how I looked at it.
Yeah.
Nope. So far. We'll have to do a mid-season predictions and take this list and do a heavy rehaul of it and see what we get, because, my lord, we are...
Yeesh.
I think the middle of the table, we're okay.
Okay.
Ish.
Well, I mean, look, you're predicting before 38 games are really played, so it's always going to be rough. But
We just predicted
some of the surprises in there are unbelievable.
We predicted decently last year. We didn't do a full list, but we at least nailed our top four. So I was like, how hard could the rest of them be? Oops.
Yeah, they got some surprises for us, clearly.
Yep, a little bit. No surprises in Palace Fulham. I think we can both... I don't know if I picked... I should have picked Fulham that game. I think I just got to start betting against Palace at all costs.
Pretty much, yeah.
Did I not?
Yeah, they look real rough. I thought they were kind of... They got over the hump. You know, they... What was it, just last week I think they got their win? Or a draw last week and a win the week before against Tottenham. So, you know, it felt like they were starting to figure it out and move forward. And then, I don't know, maybe Eze was the glue that really started to make things work. And he's gone right now. And
oh yeah,
they look pretty bad again.
What's going on with him?
Oh,
a lot of injuries down the Palace list. Hamstring injury. He will miss all games before the break. We'll see if he returns after that. Estimated date, November 30th.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, they got a list here.
If you got a big list of injuries, that definitely doesn't help. But I feel like still there's... I think, honestly, with Mitchell and Munoz on the wing backs, they can provide enough crossing threat into Mateta, into Nketiah, into whoever you want to throw up there for that to be a viable option. Obviously, you got to tweak and you know have some backup plans in there, but I think they should still be doing better than 18th with you know, 7 points, only one win on the season.
Yeah, that's extremely poor. Munoz and Mitchell, third and fourth most touches on their team. So it shows you they're able to get the ball to them. Yeah. I want to see what their heat maps are looking like, but I imagine it's more likely on the attacking half of the map. Very much so, especially Mitchell. Mitchell is above the half line. Munoz is kind of spaced out, but in the positions you'd want him to be in. Your defense, right, is like, is this an Anderson problem? Did getting rid of Anderson definitely mess this thing up? I think it's a possibility.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a big loss. I mean, Guehi's been good, but I think Anderson was kind of that...
Was the combo.
That rock. Like, yeah.
Why did they do this?
I don't know. Right when that transfer happened, I felt like it was such a weird thing to do. Like, Palace was in no real position to move him on and think they were going to improve or be able to get someone better. You know, I don't know. Maybe he was forcing his way a little bit once he heard wind of the transfer, but I mean, it's a rough one. It's a rough one to take. You know, it's, I don't know. I feel like it's just a bad time for them, obviously, but
it's foolish. Such a foolish transfer.
Foolish transfer, and I think foolish club, honestly.
I mean, the Olise transfer makes sense. A lot of money, young player.
Yeah.
Injury prone for you right now. Who knows what happens in the future?
Yeah.
Anderson's been a lock. He's been a lock.
Yeah.
And
he's been a lock, and what? Last year he had a handful of winning goals too. So
he played every minute but one from what I can remember.
Yeah.
I would argue you would get the same amount for him unless he wasn't on a contract. I'm not sure next year. You'd get the same amount for him this year as next year. Mm-hmm. No direct replacement.
No, not at all.
Richards obviously is coming up, but not to how Anderson played. So yeah, a lot of question marks. No surprises there. Harry Wilson, another game winner. That's now three goals for him in 16 minutes of play in the last two games. So his goal to minute ratio is insane.
Damn.
And he's doing it in style. So
yeah, look good.
Yeah, he does look good.
Yeah. Just real quickly on Munoz and Mitchell, I'm just looking at their stats. I think Palace just isn't using them appropriately. They've both created 25 to 30 shots creating actions, but you know, only maybe three of those, it sounds like, ended up in a goal. So I don't know if it's quality across, quality of passes, whatever, but you got to figure something out, because they're clearly both a threat down, you know, both wings, which is a great option to have. You know, I think probably having Eze in the middle is helps that balance, because it provides another outlet, but I think you got to get Mateta just sat in that box ready for a tap and a header or something, because you got to find goals, and I don't know. I feel like but those two are your ticket right now to claw on your way out of that bottom three, but got to do it soon.
I would love, if Mitchell is sick of Palace, I would love him as a replacement for Robinson. It's kind of the same, a little bit smaller, maybe a little less physical, but the idea is the same. Bomb the wing.
Yeah.
Be stable on defense, but worry about the attack, and we'll take care of everything else. So, yeah, I wouldn't shock me if those guys become for sale eventually, especially if they get relegated or kind of on that way out and they're not contributing to what Palace are trying to do. I don't know. Again, it's hard to say what the goal is of this club here, what direction do they want to go in, but I'd like to see him around some quality players, and I do think there's a chance he could go.
Yeah, just adding him quickly to this comparison, and you know, Mitchell's played about two more full 90s, but has, you know, 10 more shot creating actions in there. Three more completed crosses, so definitely room to improve for Mitchell still on some of his progressive passing and stuff, but I think you're right. He's kind of in that same vein as Andy Robertson, and would be a great backup, and yeah, maybe future replacement or just someone to share the workload, you know?
Yep. Tsimikas is probably on his way out after this year. He's 28. Robertson's going to be 31 by the end of this year, and Mitchell's 25, so
yeah.
I'd be cool with that. Kind of right in line, right? It's about right into hitting your prime. Come to
exactly
the leader of the league.
There it is.
Speaking of, oh, great segue. Let's talk about the leaders of the league, Chad. You can't stop us, Coot. You can't stop us.
That's it. You thought Villa was a problem. They ain't a problem. You thought Coot was a problem. He's no problem.
You thought Salah was slow? He just said, watch this. We burned rubber twice that game. Let's talk about the first thing. David Coot, no foul. Play on. Thank God Nunez can finish now.
I will give him credit for that.
The play on. But he said it wasn't a foul. He said, no, it was never going to be a play on because there was no foul to begin with.
It certainly was a foul and should have been yellow carded. So, I mean, I guess if he's saying there's no foul, he didn't really play it on, but
right.
He allowed the play to continue in some.
Oh, he always was. The play was never going to end. Crazy. Yeah. That was a crazy sequence. I'm so happy Nunez, if Nunez didn't finish that and we go to VAR.
That had to be a VAR step in and be like, David, the hell are you doing?
It's not Klopp anymore.
Yeah.
Look
over there. That guy's bald. It's not Klopp.
So before we get into the game, let's just talk about this Coot video that came out. First glance, first watch, I was like, there's no way this is him. I was like, there's no way. I was like, this is a lookalike, a really good one.
I was like, 80% sure it was going to be some like crazy deep fake that some disgruntled fan put together, because it feels so weird to watch. And like, we don't really know what the refs really sound like, how they act, anything. Yeah. Like, we just don't get that exposure to them. So that didn't help, but like, the whole thing just felt so strange.
It felt like amateurish, right? It didn't feel like that was a Premier League ref chilling on the couch, probably not sober, talking to just a buddy on the phone about everything he should not be saying on the phone. Now it's one thing if he was saying all this and was caught on like a hot mic, or caught on like a cell phone recording of him on the phone with someone and he didn't know he was being recorded. The dude is looking straight at the camera, like how I'm looking at you, saying all the things he should not be saying as a professional ref. So that right there was shocking. The obvious, I guess, ratios of wins he's been giving Man United compared to Liverpool and City, hilarious. Games he's been winning, or games he's been refereeing for Man United, United had an 85% win percentage in those games, while City and Liverpool had a 65% chance of winning. Those are the two big stats there. And when he wasn't refereeing the games, of course those percentages were higher for both Liverpool and City, just because that's the type of teams they've been for, you know, what feels like the last decade. So that's pretty unusual. Here we go. I found it. Actually, this stat doesn't look all the way right, but you know, this might be the most recent. Oh, it's the last five matches. City 100% win rate, Liverpool, United, Leicester, and Bolton all in the 60%. I guess those are the best team percentages. I'm not sure how that stat works with that. That seems different from the one that I saw. I don't know how City is perfect and everyone else is not even close. Regardless, super weird. His name has been coming up in some really big controversies too with Liverpool's past. The Virgil ACL injury when Pickford took him out and Pickford got nothing for it. Crazy. No offense. The Odegaard handball, which we all, you and I went back and forth on. I still don't think we're in total agreement there. That's okay. We'll leave it at that. The Mane offside with the lines and they were drawn incorrectly. That was like, holy shit, that was so long ago. But you look back at those games, I think that was in 21? It was either in 21 or 19. I don't remember which one it was.
Somewhere around there,
But enough to not give us 3 points.
Yeah.
And this guy has some bias against Liverpool, a bias against Klopp. I can understand not loving Klopp. If you're on the opposite side, he screams, he yells. But your goal as a referee is to stay non-biased. You're neutral. You can have these thoughts in here. You can't speak them out loud and tell someone, don't let this get out.
Especially not video recorded. What the hell?
Awesome, dude. I was so happy when this came out. And of course, I was skeptical. I was like, there's no way this is real. It looks fake. Looks like he's a guy just on his couch and he's denied it, correct?
I heard he initially denied it, and then maybe 12 hours later, a day later, if that, came out and said it's true, but he doesn't remember it. That's the last I heard. So,
what an excuse.
I
mean,
I would agree with that. You don't seem to be in a sober mind there, talking so freely into a recorded video, knowing you're saying things that like are detrimental to your employment,
your career, your livelihood.
Yeah. So, I'm inclined to believe he doesn't remember he said those things, but that doesn't, you know, doesn't take away from what has been said, and certainly doesn't help the Premier League refs as a whole look any better.
No, not at all. So on a 1 to 10 hilarity scale, we're at like a 9.8. On a what the hell are we doing out here? 9.9.
I feel like it just, you know, how many times have we had to have talks about VAR or ref decisions on this podcast? And I feel like, while he's, yes, one of the, I don't know, what, 8-10 refs that we see all the time, he's one of them, but, like, knowing that he holds such like, a strong position on a team, a coach, enough to, like, seemingly affect the outcome of his officiating in these games, it a little bit feels like really reassuring is not the word I'm looking for, but, like, I guess it feels like my complaints and frustrations with reffing and VAR have been, like, I can't think of the word, but
like, I feel validated.
Right. I feel correct. Validated. Yeah. Like, it, and I get it's super small sample size, but it, like, he can be one. I'm sure the rest of them have their own thoughts and you know, ideas and opinions that sway their bias one way or another against teams. And, yeah, you know, I think the others are at least smart enough to not put it on recorded video, but... Mm-hmm. It makes you now kind of question some of those weird calls you see over the years that, okay, well, of course, yeah, the refs are always going to say they're not a, you know, a City fan, a United fan, a Arsenal fan, Liverpool fan, whoever. They're always some small, like, League One, League Two, non-league team fan. But I think we can just throw that out the window and probably all agree that they're fans of some Premier League team. And, you know, will use their power as they can when they get the chance.
It's crazy, dude. It's crazy. It's now this is another referee that I'm gonna know his name forever. I don't want to know these referee names, but he goes on the list with Anthony Taylor, Michael Oliver, Mike Dean. You're now in there, David Coote. You made it. And rumor is he'll be reinstated for Liverpool City. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true.
That'd be incredible.
But the scenes, right?
I want the Undertaker, like, come back from the dead, like.
Well, your green screen almost made that, like, really happen. That was crazy. Yeah, it's a bummer. Kind of, I don't want to say it's taken away the spotlight from how good of a Liverpool season we're having right now. It just adds a little bit of what are you going to do to stop us? Type thing. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. Again, Liverpool are on an absolute tear. I think we could argue at this point now, Mo Salah is not only the best Liverpool player we've ever seen, but at what point do you argue the best Premier League player we've seen?
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I just saw a stat earlier today that he, I think, is just about level with Henry's goals for games played, mm-hmm. which is great, but you take into account that Henry played at a time where I think the general level of play wasn't as high, wasn't as competitive. You know, Henry was still doing some great goals, lots of goals, crazy runs, all that. But Salah's been doing that in you know, modern times where it's you're going against the Pep tactics. You're going against these, like, park the bus tactics and just general quality level is much higher, I'd say. So, yeah, he still looks great. Certainly hasn't slowed down in my eyes. Still a massive threat.
How about those runs, man? Yeah. The first run was incredible. You know, he had to be drugged down to be stopped, and thank goodness Nunez finished, because who knows what would happen after that play. And then the second one, to have the awareness after the deflection off of the defender, I don't remember who hit it right back at him, but to then essentially head it down in a blink of an eye and then be off to the races, have I think it was Konsa who was in goal defending when he trailed back, and then be able to just slot it right through to them. Perfect. Great celebration. Relaxed, calm. Top of the table. We're just, it feels like we're just on a mission right now. Again, Nunez, time to shine. Just, I'm going to say it again. He just waited for his moment. It is happening now. I was asked over the weekend who my least favorite Liverpool player is. I don't got one. Honest truth, there's not one person on this team that I feel.
They asked you like ever or just
no, like right now on this current team, like who do I dislike the most? And I gave an answer. It was Kwanzaa, not because I don't like you. I just thought at the beginning of the season didn't look great on you. But everyone else right now, I don't want anything to change. I want Jota to come back healthy. You know, Chise is still recovering. Becker is still recovering. There's a lot of pieces that are still waiting to come back up. It's just when those guys are healthy, I don't want. It's almost like I don't even want them to come back yet, because I just want this team to just keep rolling how we're rolling. Next person in line, you go. And if
I hope Slot kind of sees it that way and understands it that way too. Of like, don't ruin a good thing, right? Where it's like this team, this setup is working. Just moving forward. If you get guys back, cool. You know, rotate them in to give some rest here and there. But I think for the most part, like if this is going to be the starting 11 that clicks, obviously I think Allison will come in when he gets back. But like if that's your starting 11 that is clicking and working, just keep rolling with it and, you know, fill people in as you need to give a 20-minute rest, whatever it is. But I think, you know, just because Jota started hot doesn't mean that he should jump right back in when he comes back. If Darwin's, you know, if not scoring a lot, at least reconnecting that assisting Salah. You know?
Yep, for sure. So that's my Liverpool bravos for today.
Yeah, and I thought Villa looked okay.
Fine. Yeah, they were fine. Nothing too potent.
Yeah, I feel like they're falling a little flat. I mean, like we just did the fantasy stats before we started this, and Ollie Watkins said
0.5.
Basically nothing. You know, it's you're gonna have bad games, but I feel like Ollie Watkins has been he's been having a season where he goes through these runs of just like bad to like games, and then we'll have a little spike, but then it's like back down and just cruising. Villa's got to figure that out. I don't know, they're not like West Ham bad certainly, but they're falling a little flat compared to how they were looking at the end of last season.
Yep, and we saw Mings come back over the week in Champions League. Rusty start, but he is back. The rust was showing, but a good addition to at least have in your back line. I'm sure the veteran leadership will be needed as we continue on. I don't not believe this team can't be in the top four. They just need a little bounce back, a little more a spark per se to be ignited again. So tough to do that against Liverpool, like any other team.
Certainly.
Liverpool go against Southampton next. That is not my favorite matchup in the world, just because
could be scary.
I gotta break out of this habit, I think, soon this year of not having to worry about these bottom of the league dweller. Bad. Yeah, I know. And I thought Forest was that, but hey, you know what? Yeah. We didn't lose against the bottom of the table team.
No.
Here's the problem though. Yet.
Well,
there's always one.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I feel like generally the level of competition in the Premier League is enough that, like, it's good to have some worry about any game you go into.
Yep.
You know, yeah, obviously Liverpool should beat Southampton, but...
Absolutely.
Who knows? It could be the weird off day where no shot goes in. Ramsdale all of a sudden can save everything or what. But yeah, I think it'll be fine. But, you know, it never goes away.
I just give me just one goal and I can breathe. If they score first, I struggle.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I think... It's away, I get it, but like, I think Liverpool has been comfortable enough going away this season that it shouldn't be too bad.
Should be okay. Brentford-Bournemouth, this was a sloppy game here.
yeah, what the heck? I thought I picked Bournemouth on my pick'ems. I thought they're on a good run here. Brentford's like up and down. And then all of a sudden it was just like both teams were just like, we don't know what we're doing. We're just scoring goals.
So sloppy. The the error on Berg, man, on that back pass. It was like a great step to stop the attack. Turns and then just slings it back to nobody. And then Evan Nilsson almost was like shocked at what was happening. Nice move on the keeper and then just slotted it home. And then Brentford decided to turn it back on. Again, how many goals in the first half? Oh, I guess just the two in the first half, but then three as soon as the second half started.
Yeah.
It was like bang, 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 and then nothing for the rest of the half there. So Brentford, it's like, I want you to figure things out too. I believe you're the better team here, but Bournemouth is also no slouch. So this was kind of like the perfect middle of the table. I mean, it's pretty close, 11th and 12th. Yeah. Middle of the table battle. Expected.
Exciting game, only because it was so sloppy, but I really thought Bournemouth would maybe not cruise through this, but get the win just because they have been playing so well and you know, got some big wins. And I don't know, Brentford hasn't really shown up for me yet. They have their moments, but great as a neutral to watch this one. Mm-hmm. Just go back and forth.
Yep. Wiese's on a tear.
Yeah.
Checking him out. How many goals he at now? They're at 8-7. That might be the highest duo this season right now.
A great duo. Like, I thought Mbeumo and Tony were a good pair, but I think this is it. This is what Brentford's got to build with and try and hang on to both of them for at least another season and some moves.
Build around them for sure.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it. Man U, Leicester, kind of what I thought would happen. I wanted a little more fight out of Leicester.
Yeah. And I don't want to judge Man U yet on whether they're like back or not, because you're at a Ten Hag. It was always going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
But now Amorim, I think, is the new coach. He'll be coming in, so we'll see what he can do. I will say, Bruno Fernandes looks like Bruno of old. I think he was able to play more advanced and kind of more in his creator role.
Mm-hmm.
Even stat-wise, it was reminiscent of,
for sure,
his past seasons, where he's kind of all over the pitch, getting goals, assists, tackles, everything. Too early to say, I think, if they're back, but...
Well, Diallo is playing really well lately. Smooth on the ball. The back heel pass he had to Bruno, I want to say, on the first goal, just calm, and then all of a sudden hits it back to him, then just boom, slotted. So yeah, that was nice.
That was a really nice one. I almost put that in my like goal nomination for the week, almost purely based on the assist.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, there's other good goals, and yeah, I'm really doing it for the assist. But if they can keep him rolling, get Bruno back into form, I think they'll be okay. I mean, I don't think they're going to get relegated this season, but, sitting in 13th is certainly not where they're supposed to be.
So. Yeah. I mean, I'll allow it, but...
Yeah, no, yeah, it's great.
A goal differential of 0? Nice. Yeah. Nice. All right.
Chelsea and Arsenal.
How you feeling?
I feel okay. Like, I'm trying to take everything with kind of a bigger picture perspective. Mm-hmm. There's still 27 games left to play. We've seen City drop points. Liverpool has dropped points and may drop more. So, like, I don't agree with the whole, like, Arsenal's out of the title race already. It's, I think, way too early to call any of that. And just looking at Arsenal alone, they've had such a strange start to the season with, you know, three games down to 10 men, injuries to Odegaard, injuries to Saka, you know, injuries to Marino, and all these kind of like stop and start moments. And, you know, I think they've come through that period pretty well. You know, 5 wins, 4 draws, 2 losses is, I think, ordinarily a pretty good return. It's just that we're in the era of Pep and Man City, so you know, almost have to be perfect, and if not, then it feels like you're doing poorly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Arsenal's doing okay. Like, certainly down from where I think they were last season and from where they kind of left off, but yeah, you know, I'm trying to just keep a big picture. Like, there's a lot of doom and gloom, of course, online because everyone's so reactionary and,
yep,
you know, sees the worst in it. But, you know, this is a Chelsea team that's starting to get better, starting to click. They brought some good fight, some good energy to it, except Cole Palmer. I felt like he was very quiet and almost, like, invisible on the day, which was interesting. I don't know what happened there. It didn't look like Arsenal was necessarily guarding him any more than, you know, any other player.
If I can cap, go on to that point, it seemed like Neto wanted to be Palmer this game, which,
yeah,
to be fair, Neto played pretty good. Like, but again, this team revolves around Palmer.
Yeah.
So when you have someone trying to be like Palmer, what does Palmer do?
That could be it, you know. If you know, maybe Maresca, maybe that was tactical, right? Of like, they're going to expect we play through Palmer, so let's play through Neto. But then, yeah, Palmer's like, well, yeah, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why he was a little non-existent out there. You know, Neto's not a bad option to have as your main guy either.
No.
You know, clearly he picked up the goal here. But I just remember it was, what, 2 or 3 good free kick areas Chelsea had that Palmer took right into the wall.
Oh, and I think he took another one that's went crazy high, and he was and he like almost laughed about it. And I was like, I was like, I don't know if you should be laughing.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. That was strange. Like, yeah, you know, like, I don't know, the goal that Arsenal gave up. Bad defending, you know. It was kind of recycled from the corner, and it looked like the midfielders didn't really get out, and Declan Rice or Thomas Partey, you know, they didn't really get back into position. And then Kai was there and doesn't make a move towards Neto, but I think he's probably assuming one of them is back there. So it looks bad on Kai, but I think it only because he assumed one of them would be back. But you know, great goal from Neto to take his opening there and score. You know, on the other end, you know, Martinelli, I think, shouldn't have been able to score a near post goal like that against Sanchez, but he left the door open and Martinelli took it. So, yeah, I don't know. On the day, like, a win would have been great because it really keeps Arsenal up there, but again, there's 27 games left to play. We've seen City be so shaky, and they're on this winless run. You know, Liverpool, we went toe-to-toe with them and have been playing well. You know, certainly not at 100%, not A+, but I think this team will come together as players start to come back. Like, Odegaard being back was
huge.
A big enough shift in just like play for this team.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not too down on it. Would have loved to win, but you know, it is what it is. It's played a lot of the big teams already, which is great. So yeah, I don't know. I'm down to keep moving. It's
and you didn't lose. You didn't lose against any of them, correct?
I mean, yeah, we've had a good run. It's just the red cards really hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, we nearly had the City win even with the red card, which that would have been such a such a delight. But
just the Newcastle one hurts,
but I mean, honestly, I didn't even watch the highlights of it because I heard they were just terrible. And like, that's okay. Things happen.
Yep.
I'm not so down on it like a lot of people online want to be, but
gonna be a long, long season.
Long season, plenty of things to happen, especially when you take into account all the other competitions that these top teams are in. You know, Chelsea and Forest, I guess, since we have to talk about them up there, are maybe the most well off in that regard, in that Chelsea's playing in Conference League, so they can just put out their younger guys for those games for now, and then, you know, rest the starting 11. Where Forest, you know, doesn't have anything in Europe, but will probably still in FA Cup and stuff. I don't really know. I don't follow them closely enough for that. But, you know, lots to go, lots to do. I think this team will come good. It's just a rocky start. You know, obviously not as sound defensively, but there's also three games in there with 10 men. So...
a rocky start sitting fourth is okay.
Yeah, you know, that's how I'm feeling. Like,
get your rough patch out early.
Would I trade with Liverpool right now and be on top? Sure, but like,
who wouldn't?
We're not that far off, so still in there, still fighting.
We've seen bigger point swings.
Yeah.
I think we nailed it here, Chad. Good to be back. Good to be back in the flow of things. I got my nominations here as far as team, player, goal. Pretty straightforward list on my end. Do you want to start with, I mean, team? I feel like we're probably going to say the same thing.
Team, I think, just has to be Brighton at this point. Like,
okay, Brighton, that was not mine. I was going Ipswich, first win of the season against a team that 92% of the pick-ems said we're gonna win, but I think we did say anyone but City will win this award, so I gotta fall back on that statement.
Yeah, Ipswich is a great win, but I think I'm not even concerned with Tottenham is my thing. I'm concerned with City's points.
That's true. Hey, that's a great point, and that's why we have this conversation. I'm glad we just didn't do it off the bat. So I mean, obviously I'm stoked whenever Brighton can win and take points off the top that isn't Liverpool, so that's good with me. I think my player of the week falls into a Brighton player, so João Pedro, goal and assist, very composed on both of them. Great movement on the assist, gathering the ball and then wiggling his way through at the top of the 18, and then somehow finding the pass off, and then chaos almost ensued after that. But what was shocking about that is no City player touched the ball after that pass, which would have eradicated his assist. So for me, that's an easy player of the week for me.
Yeah, I think... I was just about to say, if we don't want to give Brighton team of the week and give it to Ipswich, I'm cool with that, because I think only João Pedro is the true nomination and winner of player of the week.
Shout outs to Bruno Fernandes. I thought, again, a much better week for him from the last couple months we've been seeing. Maybe could have had two goals. Yeah. But again, he played pretty decent. Salah, goal and assist too. Don't forget about him. Right, yeah. But yeah, I think João Pedro in this case, the context for beating City is too good. Mm-hmm. As far as goals go, nice bangers this week.
Yeah, a lot of the like curled shots from top corner of the box and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone was on the same page.
Garnacho, Bruno, Neto, the finishes, the calm finishes right outside of the 6-yard box too. All really nice. Modix from Ipswich, though, the bike.
Oh yeah,
that I think that wins it right there. Just totally unexpected. I don't think we, you know, the few goals that they have scored this season. Who scored just went down. That's no good.
Sick.
good timing. What is Ipswich at? How many goals on the season? If you can beat me to it.
Oh, Ipswich, they have 12 goals.
12 goals. So out of 12 goals there, out of the 8% of the goals for one of them to be a bike, pretty spectacular. Now, Tottenham's defense was awful in that case. No one really wanted to rush it, but I do think the finish was superb and unlikely.
Yeah, and I think when he watches back that replay, he'll realize, oh, I didn't need to even risk the bike. You know, I could have taken the ball down, turned around, and shot normally, but the bike is cool. It looks way better.
Mm-hmm.
Really is much more of the dagger than just the normal goal.
For
so.
Sure.
Yeah. His was definitely one of my favorites. Cunha's goal against Southampton. Mm-hmm. His was pretty nice. I like the whole build-up for Smith-Rowe's goal of just intercepting that and Jimenez just laying it off right back to him and getting down there slotted in. Salah's goal. Just vintage Salah, I feel like.
I know. Just dribble, 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 shoot.
Yeah.
So
I will shout out Haaland, though, because he changed direction so quick to put that ball back in the net. Which is kind of crazy. I don't know that I can switch directions at speed that quickly.
At 6'5".
Yeah.
The wind resistance isn't supposed to let you do those things, but he just overpowers it. He's just so strong.
That's it.
He'll have such an... If he can keep this pace up, it'll be interesting to see what type of career he has. There was a stat that just got posted on Reddit of the most goal contributions for like the top 10 in the 21st century. I don't know if you saw that, but it'd be interesting to see how long it takes Haaland to make the top 10 on that. It's a fun list. A lot of, I don't want to say relics, but players on their way out from Lewandowski to Zlatan to Salah's on this list. But Messi's goal here, I have it here. Messi, 578 games, goals and assists, 743. The next closest is Ronaldo with 646 goals and assists and 626 games. So almost 48 games more with almost 100 less.
That's crazy.
But again, this list has Cavani, Rooney, Zetko, Higuain, Henry, Griezmann, Close, Di Natale. Like, it's a crazy list, and I'm just so curious what it's going to look like if we're 24 years in the next 24 years. Who's going to be there?
Yeah, that'll be it'll be cool to see like the Haalands and the Mbappes and stuff like climb that list now. Cuz I feel like before, you know, we heard about Messi breaking records, Ronaldo breaking records, but like I didn't watch soccer early enough to see the people they were passing on that list really. So like now to kind of have the memory of them in there and then see someone maybe overtake them or not, I don't know, but at least see them try, I think will be pretty interesting, fun to watch.
Yeah, and for context, Mbappe has 272 goals and assists in 257 games, so he will make the top 20 in 5 more contributions. Haaland has 168 goals and assists in 144 games, so
okay.
Pretty crazy. 1.17 per game for Haaland and 1.06 for Mbappe. And I believe this is all league. Yeah, this is league play. Nothing international.
Yeah.
So just food for thought. Interesting stats to look at and what player is gonna come up.
Yeah.
Who next?
Someone we don't know, I'm sure, will just burst onto the scene and be the next Messi.
There is a... Oh, geez. I'm pretty sure there is a team in Portugal with a Ricardo Quaresma and a Cristiano Ronaldo on like their U12 team or something. So I don't remember. It's something like that. So
yeah,
maybe we'll have some repeat names on this list.
Sick. That'd be tight.
Yep. All right, Chad. Got anything else for us?
Well, just because you're wearing the Sac Republic shirt there. Season ended. Wasn't great, you know. Didn't go to plan, but they just announced a new majority owner in oh, forgot which one it is. Wilton Rancheria, I think.
Nailed it.
I believe so. Yeah. Native tribe around here, around these parts, are the new majority owners of the club. And yeah, they are voting today, which I haven't heard the result of, on the terms for the new stadium build. So things are moving forward, hopefully, with that, and getting a new stadium, getting a good team together, whether it's USL or MLS. Just kind of excited, because I felt like the last few years after MLS fell apart, like the club has been kind of not stale, but like didn't know where they were going. And I felt like this announcement kind of gives us some direction again. So see what comes of that, but it'll be good times, I think.
I will be looking to work for them in hopefully a year's time. So that is the goals here. We actually will talk off the pod, but we know someone who works for them, and we could say we might be getting in touch with them soon. So we'll talk about that.
Nice.
All right, Chad, been a pleasure. Episode 85, international break. Plan on doing something fun, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see what happens. See what happens. Have fun at the wedding.
Will do.
We'll check back soon. Enjoy the week off. Hooligans Pitch, we're out. Peace.
Peace.